morning, everybody. Welcome to Divine Transmissions with Janet. It's time to grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax so we can chat about what is happening up in the sky above us. And the sky above us has been extraordinarily busy. As you can see this morning, I have my two best friends here, Pia and Cullen. They are here to help us navigate through some of the high energies that are, kind of blanketing our planet at this moment. And hopefully there is some Pleiadian wisdom that they can share with us to help us move through what is a very trying time for some people, but also a pretty good time for others. So welcome, Pia and Cullen. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you.
We have to be careful this morning with Pia. She is having a solar storm of her own in her throat. So we have to, she might not be as vocal today. And that's because we really want to save her voice for information that she wants to share with us about the Pleiadian calendar, I'm assuming, is the quick message I got. Yep. And Cullen and I will be probably taking up the most of the voice space of this particular show. And one of the things, Cullen, that we really want to get digging into is the impact that these gigantic solar flares are having on our planet, but also on each one of us, right? It's not like we're immune to these solar flares. And, you know, I don't know about where you guys live, but here where I live, we've been treated to auroras that were absolutely phenomenal. And I would say most of this country, you know, it was coming down pretty low, were able to see these. Did you guys get to view any of that? Oh, boo. It could be life-changing to be able to see this beauty. And you would look up at the sky and you wouldn't necessarily see much, but if you took your camera and you click the camera, there you are in the midst of all of this beautiful purple and red and sometimes greenish yellow colors in the sky. It was just extraordinary.
Well, I think what you're explaining is one of the incredible changes that's happening either from the sun or from possibly other cosmic events, but no time in human history that I'm aware of have people been able to see at the lower latitudes in America and other places around the world these incredible colors, these incredible light shows. It has never happened to my knowledge. So something is afoot. And there are many reasons why this is going on, but probably basically we can look to our sun as the reason for this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously the impacts are coming from the sun, but what's triggering the sun is the bigger question. Right. Because, I mean, the sun is in the midst of a fairly high energy sun cycle or sunspot cycle and coming to its peak, I heard. But it's interesting because I don't even think in my lifetime, and maybe it has, I don't know, where we saw, what was it, on Wednesday, an X8.7 sun flare. And by the grace of God, that was turning away from the earth, so it didn't hit us face on. But the last one, the X5.8, which was over the weekend or May 10th, so last Friday is when it all began, I believe. That one was earth directed. So we were right in the face of it. So all of those, you know, frequencies that are elevated, all the rays, right? The cosmic rays, the X-rays, the gamma rays, they're all coming to get us.
That's the day, the 11th here in Europe, that's the day that my voice went out.
Okay, yeah.
I've had no voice for 60 days. Today is the first day I have a little bit of voice back.
P has been silent for basically a week.
Is that a good thing?
probably not so unusual for her, but if it happened to me, it would be amazing because I probably dominate our household talk. So
yeah,
it, in a way, if it had happened to me, maybe it would have given Pia a little recess in my constantly talking about things that I think are important.
It's kind of amazing because, you know, I don't really ever think much about sunspots. I mean, they're of interest because they bring us high energy particles streaming into the planet. In fact, you know, from my scientific background, when I learned about sunspots, what we were talking about is their impact on evolution from a metaphysical standpoint, right? Metaphysical, not necessarily scientific. So from a metaphysical point of view, they are catalyzing evolution. So it isn't specifically a bad thing. It's just a very difficult thing for some people as they take in this energy and various, you know, like I wouldn't have even noticed it. Nothing on the physical level impacted me at all. I had no clue that there had been this giant sunspot, except that everybody was all excited about the auroras we were going to see because of the sunspot activity. But I had noticed it in the emotional field, not my own emotions, but that of the people around me. There was a huge flare-up of emotion in our family on that Thursday, Friday, and into the weekend. And interesting, right? I am not feeling it. So I started looking at what does it mean from an astrological point of view? And then, Colin, I think then, you know, we'll go to the scientific part of it that you sent me some really wonderful, or Pia sent me some wonderful graphics that describe this. But I think, you know, when we're talking about solar flares, we're talking astrologically about the sun, which is, of course, the source of our will, of our core personalities, of our vitality, of our health, of our confidence. I mean, the sun is really this, you know, big player in the astrology. And when we have solar flares, they act sort of like an intensifier. So whatever the astrological signature is that is occurring on the planet, and we've had lots of big things. We have this 5-planet stellium in Taurus. We have several planets still in Aries. And that means we have this intensity already in the atmospheric energy, or I mean, in the astrological energy. And now we are activating higher energy coming through those planets, because those planets are also being bathed in the solar particles. It's not just Earth, right? All of them get it. Well, maybe not to the same extent, but or some more, perhaps, like Mercury and Venus, maybe more, depending on where they were in there. But they're near the sun, right? They're all in the same sign. Mercury, Venus, the sun are all in Taurus, along with Jupiter and Uranus. So we have 5 planets, like, right, or 4 planets that are around the sun that are taking in this solar activity and being amplified then across all of those different planets. So it's really interesting. And it's a similar effect as perhaps a solar eclipse, mm-hmm. right? Where the energies get jacked up and it can amplify in our own natal charts, the sun, or the aspects that in our chart the sun is making. And we were talking behind the scenes about human design because Pia, your throat center, right? And there have been many different energies lately that are leading to the throat center that could be blocked, that the solar eclipse, or I'm calling it an eclipse, the solar flares are impacting, right? It's a lead into knocking out some energy, clearing it out. So it knocks out our solar powers, is how we could look at that, our willpower, our confidence, et cetera. But it also impacts our ability to stay grounded. It's like these high energy particles want to give us wings and fly away, right? Everybody's kind of ungrounded during this period of time. And so emotions ungrounded, your physical body ungrounded, your mental body ungrounded, your spiritual body saying, let's go somewhere, have some fun. Yeah.
My son is in my 6th house conjunct with Chiron, and the 6th house is work. And my voice with Chiron needs healing. So there's something that I put together about that, that explains sort of what you're talking about, how it hits all the planets. Am I on target?
Work, service, and health. That's what the sixth house is all about. So yep. The healing of the body or the well-being of the body. Mm-hmm. It also speaks to the routines and habits in your life. Mm-hmm. And maybe a call for balancing some of that work, play, energy, family and work, however that works in your life. So it's good that you made that connection. So our emotions, our intuition, and I'm not saying it's all negative either. These things are impacted. Our inner dynamics, as the moon is also a part of this sun, earth, moon system. So every planet in our solar system, especially those that are closest into the sun, receive this high energy particle stream. And while for some people it can activate emotional release or physical symptoms, for other people it activates creativity and their ability to, you know, move beyond the things that have kept them held back. So it's not necessarily a bad thing, it's just high energy. I know that when the sun is active, it is a time of a lot of change on our planet, right? And it comes in cycles, right? It's an 11-year sunspot cycle, or, you know, relatively speaking, an 11-year cycle. And when the sun is quiet, that's our time for integrating all of those new energies that have come in from the sun. Right now, we're being toyed with. We're being activated or ready for an evolution. it's kind of interesting to watch.
Can I add a word into that?
Yes.
How about bombarded?
Oh, that's a good one too. Bombarded. You know, and I wonder, like some of you out there, if you know your astrology chart, and that's why I said for this morning, bring your astrology charts. My sun is in the 12th house, which it's a hidden sun. So is that because, so is my relative, you know, just running through this with, you know, watching other people have implosions and explosions. Is it because my sun is hidden? So other 12th house suns out there, tell us how you might be experiencing that. I don't see Asa out there. She's the only other one I know for sure has a 12th house sun. But some of you, if you know your charts and your sun is hidden, I want to know how it is that you were experiencing this. Pauline is saying, Leo rising, ruled by sun, hit my first house. Love these flares and sunspots, finally awakening, seeing my leadership and courage. How profound, right? That is profound. And that's very true. There's another aspect for all of you to look at. Don't just look at where's your sun, but that's important. Look where your sun is. But also look where Leo is in your own chart. Pia, do you know, so if you have... I don't even know what sign you are. Aquarius, is it?
Sagittarius, sun sign.
Sagittarius. So Gemini's Leo. Opposite.
Yeah.
So where's Leo?
10th house? I have Pluto and Leo in the second house.
So does this impact your earning power? Your resources?
I can't work. I can't talk. So yes.
Definitely.
Yeah. So it's so interesting. Now, Cullen, tell us from your point of view, what's going on?
Well, the first thing I would say is I think we can all agree that the sun affects everything, whether it's astrological, astronomical, personal, planetary. The sun is the big juice, and it affects everything in our experience. And what's going on with the sun right now is unprecedented. When we look at the KP index,
I'm going to share my screen with that because you showed me. Okay, well, keep talking. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to click on those pictures to make them show up.
Well, the KP index was designed or invented by a man named Julius Bartel in 1938. And it's a graph that shows how intense the activity of the sun is. And In this graphic that you've just put on the screen is incredible. This was Saturday's. This is not as powerful.
It's Friday in the U.S., Saturday here.
Here, okay.
It was May 10th. So for those of you listening, it was May 10th, Friday, last Friday.
This graph shows a completely new territory. The KP has never been at this heightened strength ever in our living history. Since 1938, when this design was introduced to us, I just said it's unprecedented. We've never seen this.
Close, 21 years ago. Well, 2003.
Yeah, 21 years ago this happened, but that's in human history, in our way of recalling what's going on. 21 years is a long time.
Yeah, very true.
And what it's showing us is the incredible strength of what the sun is bringing us. The CMEs are stronger than they've been in such a long time. And it's a dualistic situation. You talked about this a few minutes ago. It's not all negative. Mm-mm. It's a situation of our bodies are not used to this much radiation. I mean, we haven't experienced this much in such a long time. I don't know how long it was before 21 years ago that it was this high. It may have been a very much longer period. Yeah. I think it was. So the dualistic nature of this is our bodies don't know what to do with this much radiation. The body is confused. The body is unprepared for this much energy bursting onto this planet. But at the same time, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, it's also allowing us to evolve in a much greater way. It's helping us to grow, expand, understand things we've never been able to understand. Mm-hmm. So it's a balanced occurrence. It's hard on our bodies. It can create droughts. It can do all kinds of things that we look at as negative, although probably nothing is actually negative because we learn from every experience. But we're being helped from a metaphysical point of view, as you said, mm-hmm. and we're being bombarded with radiation that our bodies don't feel so comfortable with. So it's one of those double-sided coins or double-edged swords.
Where definitely a double-edged sword, right?
It's helpful and it's positive, but it's also challenging at the same time, which is part of the dualistic nature of our experience here on Earth. So mm-hmm. it's interesting. One of the things that we notice is that, and you mentioned this also, is that people's emotions flare during these extreme solar experiences. And it doesn't really matter if some people feel repercussions, if some people feel ill or body aches or headaches or sped up heartbeat, or if they don't feel anything, because it affects everybody individually. This is one of those times when the old phrase that we think is a wonderful phrase, one size does not fit all.
Right. That's absolutely right. All you fire signs out there probably got hit with more impact than, say, maybe the air signs, water signs, or the earth signs.
I think
not exclusively, but certainly. No,
but generally, yes, I think that's true. So what we're seeing is the sun is doing something that I said unprecedented, and Pia corrected me. It's in timing, it hasn't happened for two decades.
To your point, Colin, the last time you said was 2003, I think you said, and before that there was an outbreak in 1984. Did the KP index rise to this highest level ever kind of thing? I mean,
in our, Pia will have to correct me, but in our estimation, I don't think it ever got to this point.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
And that in itself is a true indicator of how forceful and powerful the sun is. Mm-hmm. And when people toss around the idea of solar minimums and solar maximums, there have been arguments scientifically for a long time. Well, are we moving more quickly into a solar maximum? It usually takes 11 years for these cycles to happen. But in the past 4 or 5 years, apparently, we're moving faster towards a maximum. And that in itself is unusual because the cycles generally remain the same. They just keep happening over and over again.
Yeah.
But something is happening to the sun.
It's just like time speeding up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want you to look at this. I mean, this right here in the green is May 10th. And this is like normal background sun activity. May 10th, this is UTC, I believe, that I'm looking at. And then look, boom. I mean, out of the blue at about 3 p.m., it looks like universal time on the 10th, boom, it starts up. And look at how long this lasts, because here's May 11th right here. And we still are in the red. And then even through May 12th, we're still in fairly high territory. So not only was this an event that was one of the highest ever, it seems to have been elongated, like it was a longer experience of this energy for us.
Absolutely. And that's one of the changes, because generally there's a gradual increase or a gradual decrease. But mm-hmm. these were spikes that are highly unusual.
Yeah, I have another window graphic I want to share here so that people get an idea of, you know, what these numbers mean, right, in the terms of the scientists, the solar scientists. KP0 is quiet, and 9 is extreme storm. And we had 3 of those bars of extreme in that last graphic.
So Janet, I'm just noticing on this particular slide that I sent you, mm-hmm. they are showing the one that happened 21 years ago in 2003. And mm-hmm. no, it did not reach 9. It only reached.
Oh, you're right. Right here. It only reached to KP8.
Yeah.
Or just below 8, maybe. So it might have been 7.9 or something. But
my question is, what happens when and how do we know if it rises above 9? Because they haven't produced a chart that shows that much elevation.
Because it's never been it's never been seen in our mm-hmm. history.
Well, look at the earthquake scales, the hurricane scales, the tornado scales. I mean, we're basically having to throw them out the window, too, because they've become more extreme. And it's not surprising that the sun also would be more extreme. But what I think is more interesting is that we seem to think that the tornadic activity and hurricane activity is all because of climate change. Well, the sun is outside of our climate. Mm-hmm. And if its indexes are rising, what is happening?
That idea or that statement you just made, I think, is extremely important, because that shoots the so-called scientific evidence about global warming. I mean, what you just said isn't a conspiracy theory idea. It is a reality in and of itself. So, yeah. I mean, I wish all the people who were saying, oh, it's the climate, we're wrecking the earth, we have too many cars, we have too many industrial smokestacks. It isn't necessarily only because of those human activities. It's bigger.
Yeah, it's definitely human activities have put its dent in this whole system. But something bigger has to be going on, because now we're seeing an extreme outside of our own Earth, right? So we didn't cause the sun to do that. I don't think our weather here on Earth is that powerful.
Right? I don't think our wildest intentions or desires could cause that.
No.
There's something else that I want to bring up too. Mm-hmm. When the KP is at this peak or this extreme, it also affects the Schumann resonance. Mm. And many people don't make a correlation or a connection. Do you want to say something?
Well, I do. I would like you to explain what the Schumann resonance is, because some people listening are new, maybe don't understand or have never heard that term. So what is the Schumann resonance and what the is
the vibrational frequency of the earth as she spins on her axis?
It's a natural indicator of what the vibration is. And for centuries, maybe millennia, it has been at a steady set point at 7.83. I always get those confused. It has been spiking. Before we went live, P and I were talking very quietly. She was pantomiming and I was listening to her hands. The Schumann resonance very recently, possibly today or yesterday, was up to 66. And the difference between 7 and 66 is enormous.
And like a factor of 9.
So the correlation between watching the KP index and monitoring the Schumann resonance, they're so connected, it's predictive. I mean, it's right there in front of our faces.
And so so let me get this straight. So the Earth's vibration is increased. We're on the Earth. So all of us are being impacted, not only by, energy particles that are streaming in that we're not used to in terms of radiation, but the Earth herself is ringing like a bell during this period of time at a vibration rate that is significantly higher than she's normally at. Is that true?
Absolutely. And go ahead.
So our job is to get our vibration up to match the energies of what are happening on our planet.
And I suspect that for anybody who's having health challenges or any emotional breakouts or anything that's going on, it is a process of that elevating of your frequency. That's what I would think, right?
Absolutely.
I feel like it would be picking on any of the weak spots that you have, right?
I mean, being silent for 6 days, I mean, Colin and I have done it for weeks at a time, but being silent when I didn't choose to be, but my voice was taken, it's not been all bad because it has taught me detachment. I'm detached from whatever's going on. It's not, oh no, my throat, or what's going to happen, or can I ever talk again? It's a peaceful, calm detachment of, let's see what comes next. And in that space, I have had a great many intuitions come rolling in, one of which I'll talk about in a little while.
Let your voice rest now. I noticed now that it's not like just because the sunspot is turned to the other side of the sun that we're done with this energy, because I'm noticing there's still these things that are unfolding. Yesterday, out of the clear blue, I was listening to an audible book. So it's loud, or, out loud. And above that sound, I hear people arguing. Now, I live in this quiet little neighborhood. The worst noise that I have here usually is lawnmowers and, gardeners. And I'm like, what is that? So I turn off my book and I step outside and I see my neighbor and another neighbor fighting, like arguing, like face to face in each other's faces. And I'm like, OMG, this is a little 80-year-old woman and she's being, yelled at by this man. And so I'm like, okay, I can't stand for this. So I go get my shoes and I go run. I mean, I have to go a long way to get there. So that, it's 100 yards at least across my yard to where they are. And they're fighting because her dog went in his yard and scared him.
Oh.
So, and the dog has a muzzle on because she barks a lot. So when she's outside, they put a muzzle, and it's a safe muzzle. Not, she's not hurt or anything. He was totally thrashing her over this dog. And I went, I can't let this 80-year-old woman being beaten up by this guy. So I went and grabbed her and brought her, away from where he was. And he, for another 5 minutes, sat out there yelling. And I was like, geez, Louise, you really got, he got jacked up over this. And by now, she and I are talking about gardening or what books we're reading and things like that. We were totally off that subject. Mm-hmm. But that's the key, right? People just like over stupid little things can get really agitated. And then about an hour later, everything was done. I went back in my house and suddenly this windstorm started. It's beautiful. It's sunny. It's not warm, but it's not, you know, frosty cold either. This windstorm started. And before I know it, my patio umbrellas are flying. My table falls over. My furniture's moving across my deck. I'm like, oh my God, what happened? And then the power went out. And then the internet went out. And then it came back on. And the wind kept going and going. And then at 10 o'clock last night, the power went out again and was out until, I don't know, I woke up at midnight because all the lights in the house came on that we didn't realize were on because the power went out. It was the weirdest combination of events. So I'm thinking there's this trickling away of this energy. I don't think it just hits us, causes a problem. I mean, you said 6 days, Pia, right? It's still moving through the system. So I would expect that we're not done.
Oh, I think that could be the understatement of the decade. We're not done
being cooked yet.
No, we're absolutely not done. And the wind, we watch that. We live at elevation where we live. And in the past week or 10 days, we've had hellacious windstorms that are pretty basically unheard of here. And we live in an agricultural area. On one side of our property, there's a huge peach orchard. Mm. And the trees have just greened up, and the little peaches are beginning to grow. And the other day, we saw wind that we wouldn't be surprised that all of the new little peaches got knocked off. I mean, it was the trees were just bending to the ground and just thrashing back and forth. And we've never seen that here. And so the what we classify as solar winds, not just the idea that it's a wind actually from the sun that's coming to us planetarily, but it also creates earthly wind at the same time because of the change in the magnetosphere, the change in the weather patterns, everything that's involved in making up our weather system.
Yeah.
And these winds are incredibly strong. I mean, I've been in really heavy winds in my life. I've been in gale force winds of 100 miles an hour, 125 miles an hour. Those are extreme. That's another subject. But these winds were probably 25 to 35 miles an hour. And that's a pretty stiff wind.
Yeah. And, you know, 15 miles away from where I live, they had a breeze, right? Just a breeze. Here I have this, you know, they were probably 40 miles per hour. And it wasn't just gusts. There were gusts probably beyond that, but it was sustained at that for the longest time. It was the weirdest thing. Out of this beautiful blue sky, so crystalline blue.
I think we're going to see this kind of change in our lives. I think the wind is going to increase. I think a number of weather phenomena are going to occur because of what the sun is doing. And there's so many indicators. There's so many people writing, not channelers or psychics, but scientists are writing about how things are changing on the earth. And wind is certainly one of those elements. You know, too much rain in some places, too much drought in other places have been going on for a long time. Yeah. But the winds aren't as common as the too much water or too much drought. So I think we're seeing another example of how things are truly changing.
Well, as well, astrologically, we're in an age of air.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We slipped away from the age of Earth in 2020 when Jupiter and Saturn conjuncted in Aquarius. Right. That air sign. So now we have this next 200 years or so, and it's been 800 years since we were in an age of air. Mm-hmm. So I would expect more air events, which could be winds, which could be storms in general. And as well, you know, things around information and technology and other air related parts of our lives being impacted by that age of air. And, you know, it takes time for those energies to ramp up. And that mm-hmm. could be something that we're seeing as well, as the ramping up of that energy. But it was striking because it came out of the blue yesterday, not expecting. No weather thing said, oh, watch for high winds. Nothing like that. I think also the sun kind of, that was surprising to scientists that it went so high. And I'm expecting that we will have more of those kinds of experiences. So I want to just read some comments that people are saying, because we have quite a few of them here. And I certainly can't get to everybody's, but let's see. TD Hawk, the earth has also shifted a few years ago after that huge earthquake, right? The Japanese, the Tohoku, whatever, that one, the big one. And the sun hits the earth at different angles now as well. That's interesting. That is very interesting, because even just a small little shift, even if it's just, you know, millimeters, centimeters, can mean a big difference, right, in the bigger systems. Somebody, TJ, noticing in Asia, Taiwan areas where there's larger earthquakes happening. TD Hawk, I see how the sun comes up and sets in a different place on my horizon since then. That's amazing.
That's something, I don't want to interrupt your reading. No, these go comments. Ahead. That's something we've been watching for a very long time. And mm-hmm. we can verify. P and I are sun watchers. We used to gaze. We've talked about this on other shows of yours, but we used to gaze before the sun became so intense that we can't gaze anymore because it's too harmful for the retina to deal with. But we're watching the sun both at sunrise and sunset, not consistently coming up or going down where it belongs. And some people laugh. Some people laugh at us and say, oh, that's not possible. We could make a diagram of where the sun comes up and where it goes down on one day. The next day or 3 days later, it's not remotely near where it happened the day before or 2 days before. And about an hour or an hour and a half before sunset, the sun is so intense, it's no longer yellow. It is burning white. And it doesn't matter what the atmosphere is like, if there are clouds or pollution that makes beautiful sunsets, the sun is absolutely white where we view it here. And we've never seen that in all of our lives here on Earth, that kind of optical change in the sun.
Yeah, I haven't noticed that at all. It's, to me, bright yellowy orange. But I do note that it seems that it's taking, I guess I could say it's taking longer. Like I can chart the sun from the winter to the spring, to the summer, to the fall through my windows at the front of my house. Like I can see, like sometimes I have to pull the shade because the sun's in my eyes, and the, you know, next season it's not because it's moved and it's in the blank spot between the two windows. And I've noticed that it's seemingly taking longer for the sun to get to the window that it blinds me if I don't pull the shade. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking that, you know, it's there's a different angle that's, to me, speaks to the angular nature of the sun, but I haven't noticed a color change. To me, it's all that same beautiful golden orb, you know, as it goes down. And so I can't speak to that experience. Although Tom here is also saying that the sun is white for the past year or so, not yellow anymore. Sky is not deep blue. It's got a haze all the time. I don't know what that is, because here it is not that case, right? The sun is its normal color. The sky is extraordinarily blue some days, except like today when it's cloudy. So I'm wondering if that's an effect of the different wavelengths and how it hits the planet. So Tom also says May is Geoengineering Awareness Month. So are we being geoengineered, I guess, would be that question. Also, I noticed, too, they were, and I saw, I think it was you, Christine, said something about cloud seeding that was happening. I think they did this in Dubai and to see if they could generate rain from, I think it was aluminum that they were plying the atmosphere with, which seems short-sighted if you ask me, but okay.
California, just Dubai. California also.
Did they do it in California?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, that's stupid because they've been plied by so much rain. When did they do that?
Last year.
So,
Before the rain.
Before the rains. Well, they, for the whole last year, they've been getting way more rain than we've been getting here in Washington, which is like they've stolen our rain. Mm-hmm. And those major storms filled up all their reservoirs. And, you know, there was this thought I had, like, who did that? Like, who made that happen? I don't know. But it's possible, perhaps, too, that, you know, things that are human generated here on this planet or things that are being done in a in the name of science are also impacting maybe the severity of the things that are happening here on Earth. However, that's not impacting the sun.
No.
So still interesting. Let's see what other people are saying. Other people noticing the wind too. They had an extreme windstorm in the winter and the spring in the Catskills, so eastern part of our country. And I think there's just a lot of people noticing these changes. Okay, I think that's... Somebody said, correction, I don't feel it's engineering. I feel it's natural, somebody said. Debbie Tibbetts Toomeal, also that huge tsunami altered the Earth axis a tiny bit. Yeah, and every tiny bit in terms of the impact is huge. It's like magnified because the system itself is you know, made up of all these parts that are also you know, dependent on one another. So when you move something a little bit, you move... the impact a lot. So it was a possibility.
That's absolutely true. The old adage about the butterfly effect, you know,
the
butterfly flapping its wings on one side of the earth is affecting something on the other side. Well, I think that has now become magnified. And I think
chaos theory, right? That's coming from chaos theory.
Absolutely. And I think what we're experiencing, whether it's from the sun or other reasons, one thing that changes, as you said, just a millimeter, just a tiny bit, will and does affect something either on the opposite end of the earth or in the in-between area between where something happened and where it's moving towards the extreme of the opposite end of the planet. So I think we're being shown that everything is connected.
Indeed. Interconnectedness. Now, Pia, is your voice okay to speak for a moment? Because you also noticed there was something you wanted to share that was going on in the Pleiadian Earth Energy Astrology and Calendar. I also noticed somebody asked about a Venus point change or Venus sign change or something.
Venus.
It was a question and it was so far back here. I don't know if I can find it, but I will try. It was Pam Zaruba. Pam, I think it was your question, hun. Pia, we could be two of three monkeys. Vertigo getting better. Your voice, monkey no see, monkey no speak. Hope it comes back soon. okay, but I'm going back. That's funny. Nothing. Harp. Oh, Harp. Tom back said Harp was running a test last weekend. They say so on their website, High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. They're claiming to make auroras.
No Venus change until June. So that's not going on now.
Okay. Okay, here, I found it. Been seeing things about the Venus point in June. Can you explain what a Venus point is?
Not today.
Okay. We'll do that another time. We'll get together again in June, hopefully before the 21st. It'll be the summer solstice.
Whoever asked the question can email me, email on my website. I will answer you, but I can't speak that long today. Sorry.
Okay. No problem.
Okay. I wanted to share with you the vision that I had this morning, where I was told two times very clearly, and I sat straight up and went, okay, I'm paying attention. There's going to be an extinction event on Earth the 20th or the 21st, twice.
Of this month?
Yep.
This weekend or Monday, Tuesday?
Monday, Tuesday, the 20th or the 21st, an extinction event. So I immediately got up, looked at my calendar and said, what's going on? What does that mean? I was also told, pay attention to the word an. It's not the. It is not the extinction event. It's an extinction event. So I looked at my calendar and I realized that we are coming to the end of the 13-day period of evolving energy. And here we're talking about the sun bringing us more light, more light, more light to evolve. On the 21st of May, which is the end of this 13-day period, we move into 13 feeling energy. So we're ending this period on what is called the day of karma. That happens once every 260 days in this system. And what I take it to mean is because we have been pummeled with all this light that we are adjusting to, we have the opportunity on the 20th and the 21st to extinguish whatever behaviors, beliefs, ideas, and thoughts have been present that are not appropriate for where we're going. It's not the extinction event like the Earth's going to have another Carrington event. It's an extinction event that will be different for each of us depending on what work we do. The 22nd, we move into a new period of devoting energy.
So one devoting is on the 22nd?
22nd. And I am suggesting that we focus in the next 3-4 days, focus on extinguishing what no longer serves us and move into devoting, becoming the highest version of who we can be. That's my suggestion for how we work with the Pleiadian Earth energies. And apologies for not being able to explain the Venus star point now. We can talk about it in another show. And whoever asks the question, please email me on my email site. I promise I will answer you in writing.
Yeah, so that doesn't take in your voice.
So this message that Pia got this morning, I interpret it as an individual experience. I interpret it as something we can do individually to extinguish or end things, as she said, that don't serve us. Things that just don't work anymore. Probably they never worked anyway, but we continue habitually to keep trying, keep doing them over and over again in a loop. That's human nature. But if it's coming from an individual point of view, that can also grow and expand into a collective point of view. And maybe the essence of what she got this morning twice is, and we've said this before, maybe it should start at home, each individually, and then grow into a collective action so that maybe we can look at what doesn't work in the bigger picture, not just us individually inside our own work, but politically, nationally, maybe collectively we need to stand up on these 2 days and say, nope, that doesn't work anymore. Let's try something new.
Absolutely. I also noticed that the 20th is the day the sun moves into Gemini, and that is an air energy. Right, air energy. It is also later this month, that same week, the 25th, that Jupiter moves into Gemini and will soon be followed next year by Uranus moving into Gemini. So it seems like maybe there's more air, more to the air, the wind, than what we've thought about. Now, I'm following something here in the chat, and I missed a question. So TD Hawk, I think it is. He says, agree, Christine. My question was to ask input to my comment. And TD Hawk, I'm so sorry. I somehow passed a comment maybe. Okay, let me read the stream and then we can go back it up. And if that's not the question, it says, we mess too much with Mother Nature. This is Christine, which reminds me of an amazing Thornberry's cartoon when one action mistakenly made with good or greedy intent could lead toward disasters. And then TD Hawk says, it sometimes feels so overwhelming because helpless with so much, but we have to do what we can do in our lives and adding our energies to the whole. Our energy matters to the whole. I don't see the question in there. TD Hawk, can you restate the question for me? I'm watching for your question. And she's asking for input from Janet, Pia, or Cullen. But I missed the question, TD. Please go ahead and put that in again for me if you're still listening. And then we can address that. In the meantime, let's talk some astrology for a minute while we're waiting for that question to come back at us. Today, the moon is in Virgo. And it's interesting because in Virgo, we have the potential for healing with the moon, emotional healing. It rules the sixth house in a natural astrology chart, right? That if we start at Aries, then Virgo sits at the sixth house, which is about health and healing, but also well-being, our routines and our habits, all of the things that we do and how we do them show up there, our work, our environment in our work, and all of that. So when the moon is sitting in Virgo, we're often being tasked with looking at those routines and looking at how we do what we do, critically thinking, right? There's these analytical abilities that come up with the moon's placement here. And it impacts our relationships because in our relationships, maybe we sometimes use too much of the emotional mind, or maybe we're using too much of the analytical mind, and we can get into perfectionistic tendencies, judging or judgment. So we're being asked to move beyond that type of thing. Then we have caring energy. Virgo is a nurturing energy, but not like Cancer, where it's like, oh, let me feed you, let me clothe you, let me take care of you, right? That's more Cancer-like. Virgo caring is a little bit more detached. It cares from afar, let's say, and will do things to set up healthy routines, etc. So we're keying in to that with the moon anyway right now. So it's interesting to see that the possible evolution or of an extinction event would be for us to really take a look at what's healthy and what's not healthy for us, right, from the astrological point of view. Okay, so TD Hawk says, I guess asking affirmation and suggestions to so much overwhelming energy that we cannot do anything about, where we can do and add our energies to the whole to help. Does that make sense?
Stop thinking you can't do anything about it is the first place. Stop feeling powerless and stop thinking you can't do anything about it. We can always affect what's happening by our attitude, because our energies go out through our thoughts.
Yes, good.
That's a condition of thinking that we're not very powerful individually, but that's something that we've been told that certainly isn't true. We are powerful as individuals, and each time we have an intention, put out a thought, people have different words and names, a prayer, whatever intention we have does make a difference. And
yeah,
it ripples out. It doesn't just go to the human you're sitting next to or the next door neighbor. It ripples out far, far beyond that. And I think we have to be very careful to realize that we're much more powerful than we give ourselves credit for.
Words have power, and our attitudes, our beliefs, and the things that we focus on come from the voice. Interesting, Pia, that your voice is knocked out at this point. Not that it's a thing that's showing you were saying the wrong words or something like that. Not at all. But it is interesting as a model of, well, what is it that we're meant to focus on? So be very careful out there, right? We're in this barrage of energy, and that energy is about evolution, plain and simple, right? Plain and simple. It goes straight into your DNA. And at the DNA level, we are being maneuvered into higher vibrational levels. That's, I don't know the mechanism of all of that, but I know that that's what, you know, these high powered particles do for us. So then focus on the highest and best that you can be in this, right? If you're focusing on the bad stuff, that's what you get more of.
Exactly. And I think we need to really realize that there's too much chatter inside. We think too much and don't pay attention to what we're thinking. I think you're exactly right. If we think about stuff and it's the same old bad self-talk or thoughts or whatever, it is going to bounce back and that is going to be more of what we get. So yeah. Silence is a way of going inward to the heart because you can't do anything but go, okay, I'm going to revamp my thinking here a little bit. It takes you right into the heart.
Yeah, Pia.
I like that.
Pia mentioned a little while ago when we both said that she hasn't been speaking for almost a week, and she said that the two of us have gone much further than that. We used to do an exercise where we wouldn't speak for a week, or we wouldn't speak for 2 weeks, or the longest we've done it is 21 days, where we didn't utter a word between each other. And that creates a completely different environment when we're not babbling all the time, when we're more in an altered state or a meditative state. It gives us that space to really stop the loop, to really stop all of the thoughts that we're not even aware that we're contributing to. And we would say for everybody worldwide, if everybody could take a period of silence a day or two, or be extreme and do it for a month, it changes the way we deal with ourselves, mm-hmm. and it changes the way we deal with the outward greater world.
I bet you two became more telepathic during that time.
Absolutely. Not only telepathic, but our intuition also ramped up.
Which is also what's happening to me right now. My intuition and my visions are just skyrocketing.
Right. Yeah. Right. You take away one sense, and the voice is a sense nonetheless, right? And the others get impacted by, you know, rising, right? You lose your hearing and suddenly you can smell better or you see better or something. So that's true. Somebody just sent a wonderful quote from Florence Shin, and it's, every negative situation in your life is a crystallized thought. It has been built up of out of our vain imaginations. Boy, that's, we got to unpack that one. But this is the case, right? Here's, you know, we were talking about what can I do, right? How can I impact anything? And, you know, you are a piece of the fabric of the collective consciousness. So every person on this planet, every life form, sentient life form on this planet, is participating in the collective. So you, by you taking care of your own needs, by you taking and, you know, making sure that your thoughts are clean and that you take care of your own emotions and your own emotional health, you are impacting the collective because it moves outward from you to the people in your family, perhaps, then to the people in your neighborhood, then your community, and out and out and out. So everything we do, including what we think and how we act on our thoughts, impacts the whole. You don't necessarily aren't going to see it, you know, in the moment, but you're going to see the impacts on your own life as you upgrade your own way of being, your own way of thinking.
I think that's absolutely true. When the originator of transcendental meditation years ago placed meditators in war zones or places that had really not very good weather, sometimes there were up to 6,000 meditators sitting together meditating. And there is scientific proof that shows that something changed, whether the violence in a war zone changed or the weather where it was raining and raining and raining and creating terrible floods, those meditators were able to influence stopping the rain and changing the actual weather pattern. So what we're all saying here is absolutely true. It does have an effect, no matter how small it seems. It does have an effect.
It does, absolutely. So you are not powerless, right? You are a very powerful co-creator with not only all the other humans on the planet, but with Source. It's kind of an amazing divine connection that we have, but we don't always see it as such. And it's very powerful. And I can't believe it, but we are here at the 9 o'clock hour. Oh my gosh. So Pia, do you want to draw a card and then Colin can read it this time? Or do you have your cards sitting there?
We don't have them. Can you draw a card?
Yes, I can draw a card. Hold while I find, track it down. We'll pull a Pleiadian wisdom. How's that? That seems apropos. Okay. So, because I have a voice, I'll read it. If that's all right. Purpose, trust. It's card number 6. This is what it looks like. And at the bottom here, it says, your job is to remain free of fear, open to trust, and curious about what is coming next. It's a perfect card. Okay, let's read the rest of it. I'll read it because I'm sure you could just speak to it, Pia, but that's because you know what it is. I am going to find purpose in here. Hello. There you are. Okay. It says, use curiosity, confidence, and trust to align yourself with the new evolutionary energies that are arriving on the planet. I mean, do you think this is divinely guided or what? Like, I couldn't have done that. Spirit through me did this. Participate with and trust the changes by listening to your heart's guidance. Discern what is true and what is not so that you know where to place your trust. Detach from things that no longer serve you. Desist from judging others. Trust that you can take back your own power and align yourself with the energies that are here for your evolution. Trust that the universe always knows what is best for your evolutionary path, and trust in your own heart's wisdom. And then if we looked at the number 6, which is the number of flow, allow the power of trust to help you flow around obstacles. Your purpose is to always trust and work with the universe. I mean to tell you, thank you, Spirit, right? I love it. Over and over again, it has proved to me that there's something divine at work in these conversations, you know, whether it's with you or, you know, other things that we're talking about. There always seems to be a card, no matter which deck I pick, that does this. And I love it. It's like backing it up. So thank you, Pia and Colin, for the work done on that. Thank you all for joining us this morning. It's been a great conversation. I wish we could do this every day because it's just so stimulating. Thank you, Pia and Colin, for joining me this month. Pia, especially you, since your voice is weakened. Thanks for what you were able to share with us. Pia and Colin will be back with us again on June 21st, it looks like. So summer solstice, that'll be fun. For all of you, have a great weekend. See you on Monday. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Do you wish you could better understand yourself and what is going on in the world? Well, grab your cup of coffee or tea and join the podcast Living Astrology with Janet Hickox for Astrology, Human Design, and Gene Key's Wisdom. Mondays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Podcasts are available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and your other favorite outlets.